amen.
Amen. Amen.
Reverend Hattie, thank you. Allowing me to preach this morning.
Amen. Amen.
We have a schedule.
Amen.
That we try to follow. But we recognize God is in the change business.
Yes, he is.
Right. Amen.
Thankful to Reverend Haddock for being understanding. We love the Lord.
Amen.
He heard our cry. Thank you, Doc. I use up all the tissue.
It's all right. You get some more of that.
But I don't mind. Because God is great.
Yes, right. He is.
He does not make mistakes.
Amen.
And we who are believers know there's a better place.
All right.
Will you say amen?
Amen.
But I won't be long this morning. I don't think I will be long. I don't want to be like sometime a preacher say, well, I'm closing now. And 30 minutes later. Amen. But we give all praise to God.
Amen.
We give honor to these co-laborers in the ministry.
Amen.
Reverend Leapheart, Reverend Williams, Reverend Haddock, Reverend Drumgool on the drums, Reverend Dr. Timothy Price, Reverend Priscilla Price, Reverend Mariama Smith, I don't think, but to all the saints that serve here, and to every one of y'all deacons, our faithful ushers, just the saints who love the Lord, God has a word for us.
Yes, he does.
And we'll share with you. I know you have your Bible. I pray you have your Bible. Everybody, you have your Bible, just raise it up for a minute for me. Will you raise your Bible? Amen. Now, I want you to look with me. I try to stay organized here. It's a challenge from time to time. Yes, sir. If there are any other young people in the audience, we do have the youth church in the fellowship hall. You're welcome to go back. Anyone who'd like to go back, you're welcome. Welcome to do that. But I want you to look in your Bible, the book of Psalms, chapter 24, verses 1 through 5 is what we're going to examine today. Book of Psalms, chapter 24, verses 1 through 5. If perhaps,
24.
Book of Psalms, chapter 24, verses 1 through 5. Okay. And whatever version of the Bible you have would be fine if you just follow me along as we read those verses, 1 through 5, Psalm 24. Anybody need more time? Will you say wait? Okay. I'm going to read from New American Standard this morning, starting at verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. For he had founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to vanity, some would say, others would say falsehood, and has not sworn deceitfully, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation.
Yeah.
I want to talk for a few minutes about real God. Mm. The real God.
Real God.
Amen. Will you say amen?
Amen?
You may be seated. And thank you so much for standing as we look at the Word of God. We who are believers understand and we believe that we ought to give God reverence. We ought to be willing to put God in his rightful place. Amen? We say all the time, I tell the church all the time, God is not our buddy.
Right.
Amen. And what I mean by that is he loves us. Mm-hmm. He's there for us. Mm-hmm. But he's not there to hang out with us, to do what we do. He's God all by himself. Will somebody say amen?
Amen.
So as we look at these scriptures, I am reminded that he is the King of glory. He's not one king. He's the king. And so we put him in that place. So as we look at this set of scriptures, the earth is the Lord's. There are people in the world, church, who do not understand that this world we live in is really about serving God. That's where we ought to put our energy. That's where we should devote our time, is in lifting up God. Now, it does not mean that a person cannot have an occupation. Does not mean that a person cannot love the things that they do. But when it's all said and done, our very existence is about praising God. So sometimes we have to just rise up and look at ourselves and look at the way we're living and ask ourselves, am I where God wants me to be? Maybe you're an engineer and you work on some wonderful projects, because I marvel all the time at engineers. I drive around and say, how did they do that? Because I know it's way beyond me. But in the end, the best engineer is not as good as the one who praises God. Unless they also praise God. The best truck driver is not going to get the maximum out of what they do unless they learn to praise God. The best singer, the best, you put your label there. Wherever we find ourselves, we are not going to get maximum achievement unless we learn how to praise God. Because the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. Now, this thing about containing, somebody might say, well, there's so many choices to be made in the world. I'm going to be X and I'm going to be Y. It's okay. God does not say in the Bible anywhere that you can't be in one occupation or another.
Yes, sir. That's right.
But wherever you find yourself, you ought to seek achievement.
Yes. All right.
You should seek perfection.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes,
am I studying the right Bible?
Yes.
God wants us to do the right thing and our very best at whatever we do. If my existence, my entire existence is about turning hamburgers at McDonald's, don't put me down. Recognize if I do my best, God will be pleased. You know how we can be as people. We're very judgmental as people. And we tend to put one thing ahead of the other. But in the life God has given me, I'm able to recognize that there's good in everything.
Yes,
if we achieve it. I was telling you earlier about the Barbie Dream House. For the people who collect it, they pay a lot of money for it.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody like me won't pay that same amount of money. But God knows the difference, and so he equips us in different ways. And so the scripture says, it's the world and those who dwell in it. Those are the ones who should be praising God.
Amen. Amen.
Now, as I calculate the world and those who dwell in it, I'm wondering who's left out. Help me, somebody.
Nobody.
Everybody ought to be praising God.
Everybody.
But the difference between everybody ought to be praising God and everybody is praising or praising God, that's different.
Yes, sir.
Some people will never come to the understanding that God is real. And that's where the distinction comes. The book of Revelation, about the book of Revelation, just to intertwine this, the book of Revelation, see, the Bible is not complete without the book of Revelation.
Amen.
It's just as important as Genesis or any other book in the Bible. But one thing the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, God already knows who's going to accept him. I got three friends who are here from high school. High school.
Yes, sir.
And I didn't just finish 10 years ago. Help me, somebody. in case y'all didn't know. But long time ago, you know, we were in the same class, and I can remember when they came in this morning and talking about, you know, who you are, and so I can remember now as clearly as it was yesterday. You know, and all of you probably find yourself in the same position. Your memory can take you back a long way. And when you start looking and thinking, you recognize that God already knew where I would be today. Does anybody believe it? God already knew where my friends would be today. He already knew where you would be today. Because he is God. And he is mighty. He's holy. He is all those things. But the biggest thing, God is loving. Because by God being loving, we know that he's King of glory. And the scriptures say, for he, talking about God, he has founded it upon the earth, the seas, and established it upon the rivers. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who's actually going to get to heaven? Who's actually going to be able to recognize that God is real? Well, here's something the Bible teaches us. We can't fake it when we talk about loving the Lord. God knows our heart. Now, y'all may not know, maybe you never had to experience, sometimes people will lie to you. Will somebody say amen? Saying they're going to show up when you need them. And when you need them, you can't find them. But God is so good. When he promises us something, he will be there to do it. Isn't that good news? That's good news. And so, saints, let's just remember these scriptures are real. They are true. They're going to be true 100 years from now because God does not change. So the scripture tells us he's established it upon the rivers, may ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands. Let me stop there for a minute. What is this clean hands? Because the Bible also teaches us there's none righteous. No, not one. But let's not get it confused. What the scripture is saying to us there's none righteous without Jesus. With Jesus, he looks beyond our faults. I can stop there again. I think that's good news. Because I can't testify about you, but I can tell you I got some faults. Help me, somebody. I didn't say I had some faults. I got some faults right now. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? I got some things that are not perfect right now. And I said this, I said this to the church before. Over the years, I made some mistakes. But God is a forgiving God. I was telling the church, you know, sometimes you find yourself in a place, and I'll never forget this. It's always going to be part of me now. 15 years ago, I told my wife, you don't have to cook anymore. Don't have children at home. That's a lot of work. We'll go out and eat. 15 years ago. And let me tell you what that turned into. Somebody already know. We spent probably $100 a day eating out for 15 years. Now, my major wasn't math, but I can handle some small numbers. So that $100 a day comes to $3,000 a month. The $3,000 a month over 15 years. My math tells me that first she said too much. $36,000 a year in 10 years, help me somebody. $360,000. The remaining 5 years, $180,000. I know that comes to $540,000. Somebody say, more than $500,000 eating out. What's wrong with you? And all I could tell them, be careful what you pledge. Will somebody say amen?
Amen.
Be careful what you tell somebody you're going to do. Because the same Bible tells us if you make a pledge, you make a vow, you keep it. And I found out sometime, I think it was about 5 years ago, I said, honey, we need to cut back. We need to include some McDonald's and some KFC, some Arby's, where they have the special things. She said, but you told me. And that was the end of that conversation, because she was right. And I say that to you to say, as Christians, we have to know what we believe. We have to know what is real versus what is not real. Because that which is not real, we're touching on that in Sunday school. Yeah. They're false prophets all over the world. Yeah. They'll tell you something. They tell you to believe X and believe Y. But in the end, the only true thing in the world is the Bible, the Word of God. He does not lie. We don't have to doubt him. When he makes a promise, he's going to keep it. So right here today, no matter what's happening in my life, I need to say thank you, God. He's worthy to be praised. Choir was singing every praise, and we were singing along with him. Every praise is to our God. Because God is good. And he's never going to stop being good. So we need to lift him up and magnify him. And the scriptures went on to say, you have to have clean hands. Never have clean hands. We'll never have clean hands without Jesus. He cleans us up. He makes us brand new. Our neighbor, our friends, our co-workers, they won't always accept that you have clean hands. Because we can be judgmental as people. But God said, I know you. I know about your mistakes. I know about the things you wish were different. But in the end, I'm in charge. I'll direct you if you allow me to. Now, isn't it interesting that God does not twist arms? He has all power. Which means he could do whatever he wanted. We are his creations. We're not the creator. He's the creator. But he chooses to give us an opportunity to change. So our question always will be to ourselves, am I the person God wants me to be? Am I doing what God wants me to do? And then these scriptures will make a lot more sense. Verse 5 says, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of those who seek him, who seek his face, even Jacob. Said, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates. And lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Here we are, church. And we're asking ourselves, do we know the King of glory? We might have people we lift up. We might have people we celebrate. We have a good friend, and I talk about Bert Emanuel a lot because he's shown himself to be a friend. And he doesn't have to. Sometimes when people get famous, they won't recognize you. They won't say hello because they're in a different category. But when they show up, when you need them, when you're looking for a friend, we know that God is way beyond our best friend. He's way beyond our closest person in our life, your husband, your wife. He's way beyond that. So when we recognize who God is and how important God should be in our life, we should have no more doubt about who we are and who we live for. And so I say all the time, whatever time I have, I don't know, that's way beyond me. But whatever days I have, I'm going to praise him.
Yes, sir.
Going to lift him up. Scriptures are accurate, and it's a song to say, he didn't bring me this far to lead me. And I see it with friendships. I see it with church. I see all around me. And even now, I shake my head sometimes and say, where'd they all come from? But God is a deliverer. Don't we say that? He's a way maker. He's a problem solver. He is a burden bearer. Help me, somebody. I wonder if anybody here has a burden. You've been carrying it around. You got a burden. You got a challenge. You got things you've been concerned about. And are you willing to take that burden and put it on God's shoulders and take it off your shoulders? Are you willing to allow God to be the way maker that he says he is? Are you willing to allow God to take control of your life? I don't mean just showing up on Sunday, showing up on Wednesday. I mean take control of your life. Because if you let God take control of your life, he can give you strength you don't even know you have. Will somebody say amen? He is able to do what he said he would do. But do we recognize what he said he would do? He said, I won't leave you. Isn't that right? I won't forsake you. Have you ever felt like God had left you? God had forsaken you. God said, I'm here. You're the one who moved. I won't forsake you. I won't leave you. I'll prop you up when you lean. I'll turn you around when you're going in the wrong way. God is. God is. A mighty God. And he's worthy to be praised. Don't get me started now. God is a loving God. He is an able God. He is a promise keeper. He is a redeemer. He is here for all of us. Don't look around to find God. He's with you. He indwells the believer. Am I studying the right Bible? He indwells the believer. We have to be careful that we're asking God to come in. He's already here. But we got to acknowledge him. So I close with this thought. We at churches, Christian churches, we always talk about Calvary. There's no salvation without Calvary. There's no salvation without going into the grave, coming down from the cross. But the most important part was Jesus got up. He got up. Preacher, what did it mean when he got up? He means that for you and me, when our earthly time comes to an end, we're going to get up. Will somebody say amen? Amen. We're going to get up. We're going to have reason to celebrate. We're going to have holy hands and be able to see God for ourselves. So if we can get past the burdens, if we can get past the doubt that God will step into our situation, we can live a life that's full and complete. I don't need $1 billion to live. I never would have thought I had $540,000 to spend on food, but God is a way maker. Will somebody say amen? Now, we got to learn how to do things. I'm not saying my way was the best way, the right way. I'm saying God can step into a situation and get you through it when you don't think you can get through it. God is good. Somebody asked me tomorrow, 10 years from now, God is still good. He's still worthy to be praised. If I keep my hand in his hand, I'm going to be all right. He'll prop me up when I think I'm about to fall, because he is God. He's a good God. I want to share this. Some of you play a little bit. Play a little bit of this song for me. I trust you, God. Will you do that for me? And I promise not to be long, but this is just on me. Let's sing a little bit of this song I wrote called I Trust You, God. I have to be aware sometimes that a song can move me. Thank you. But
that's part of it.
Pardon my nose, but wrote this 7 years ago. Burdens down around me, got so much going on. I'm trying to keep the tears from my eyes. I got people talking to me and I can't hear a sound. All I hear is someone asking why did this burden have to fall on me? Why did my world come undone? Will somebody give me an answer to my plea? Tell me, tell me, tell me, anyone. But I trust you, God. I trust you, God. I trust you, God, to deliver me. I trust you, God. I trust you, God. I trust you, God, to deliver me. To deliver me. Amen. I trust you, God. There's more to the song, and I'm grateful that God made a way. My son came back from Washington, D.C. some years ago, and he's a musician who traveled, been to a lot of places, been all over this country. But he said, I'm coming home to help Dad, coming to help with the ministry. And he would script the music. I'd send him the songs, and I'm just grateful for the opportunity. And so I said all that to say to you, put your hand in God's hand.
Yes. Amen.
Give God a chance to work in your life. He can handle your situation if you give him the chance. So I thank God that he got up from the grave, that he rose to let us know, when our earthly time comes to an end, don't fret. There's a place that's already prepared for it. Is that right, deacons? There's a place. It's already prepared. And Jesus says to us all the time, whosoever will. He doesn't care about where we came from, how much money we have, what our occupation. He doesn't care about any of that. Whosoever will, let them come. And he'll wrap his arms around us and give us everything we need to see a brand new day coming in our life. And so we stop saying thank you to this church. Thank you to every saint. But we want you to know you got to make the decision. Jesus will not force any of us to come to him. But when you've made up your mind, you need to declare it to the other people. That's why we ask people to come forward. Come forward. Deacons, ushers, if you stand for us. We're going to open the doors of the church. There might be somebody present who wants to have a change in your life. You're welcome right here at Pilgrim Branch or any Christian church. We want you here to help build the kingdom of God. Is there one? Doors open. We don't care where you're from. We don't care what happened yesterday in your life. It's all about what you want in the future. Are you here?
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huff Smith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."